Brothers and sisters in Christ, we assemble to remember what he has done. The Lord will march out like a mighty man. On March 18, the Wall Street Journal had to issue a correction. A journalist went out and reported that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, had said that Moses called and brought water from Iraq. Except, in truth, what he had said was, Moses brought and carried water from a rock. When they reprinted that, it made a little bit more sense. Who would have ever thought? You know, National Public Radio, the same week, got theirs wrong in trying to talk about Easter. One of their blogs on Good Friday said Easter, the day celebrating the idea that Jesus did not die and go to hell or purgatory or anywhere at all, but rather arose into heaven, is on Sunday. And so they had to correct some of that, and they noted Easter is actually the day Christians celebrate Jesus' resurrection. You know, there's a term for what's happening to America. Many levels. It's called biblical ignorance. Less than half of adults today can name the four Gospels. Over 60% cannot actually state 5 of the 10 commandments. 81% of born-again Christians, so that'd be all evangelical Christianity, believe that the Bible verse is God helps those who help themselves. That is not a verse in the Bible. And half of the high school seniors think that Sodom and Gomorrah were a married couple. Biblical illiteracy, ignorance about God. Is it any wonder that there is no conception of God as a mighty warrior marching? I think all too often our picture is of the gentle good shepherd. And it is so appropriate. But don't miss that he is of two natures. That he has strength, that he has power, that he is almighty. We think of him as kind and tender. We think of him as nurturing. And it is so appropriate to see that he is the one who uses his wisdom and his ability to guide. But then the world will respond that he appears to be a wimp. In the face of all the problems, they don't get it. In the face of war, in the misuse of guns, and they often blame Jesus as though he has no solution for the world's problems. It's interesting. We have economic wars, wars on drugs, maybe even coming space wars, but this is a world at war. So today we lean into the bigger battle and the ultimate victory. The walk of Lent is to see how he has become the promised warrior. And it is on the basis of Isaiah 42, one verse, that we'll look at this. Please join with me in reading. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. The clouds of war have been looming since the very beginning. They've expected that the warrior would come right from the time of Adam and Eve because the conflict began. It started at the very first as the enemy presented himself to them as an alternative to God. And really, it is a war between good and evil, between the path of God and the path that is promoted and sown as a possible path. It is a very dangerous one to follow Satan. You see, immediately after that lost battle, God promised Satan that someone a lot stronger would be coming. Right in the very words, he said, he will crush your head. And he used the concept of enmity. Do you remember what verse that is? Genesis 3:15. Probably should have you say that with me. Genesis 3:15. First promise of a Savior, the promise of a coming battle looming. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a discussion. It's not going to be negotiated the way we think that it should be in today's modern world. It is going to be a huge, bloody battle with an enemy that wants nothing but the death of Jesus and of his followers. You see, there would be then a lot of waiting, thousands of years. God was going to move into a strategic pattern of proposing and then disposing. He would propose and write it in the heavens, but he would also give not just signs on the earth and in the heavens above, but in the word, the prophecies. And then would come the disposing, as each of those prophecies would be fulfilled. During that waiting period, the world's population grew tremendously, and so did the problem of evil. You know why? Because God's people grew weary of waiting. And they fell into ignorance. They ignored him. And it became a costly consequence. Now, when we talk about this, we are really looking at ourselves. It's very easy to come into God's house and think that we are somehow superior to anyone else, but we're not. The battle lurks within. It is a defect that infects us all. I don't know how you feel about what's happening across the world right now. I won't even mention the name of it, but I will call it a pandemic. You want to know what the real pandemic is? It's the human heart, squeezed by its own self-desire and calculation. Its enemy relatives are going to seek to destroy us. Satan and the world are going to try to pinch us until we die. There can be no peace treaty with this deadly enemy. It says it in Paul, because Paul had felt it. He had felt the sting of religiosity, and he says, sinful man and his sinful mind have become hostile to God. So in this Lenten season, it's a great time to reflect. As I went to the hospital today, I was talking about this, that someone in the hospital maybe does more reflecting. But Lent begins a journey of saying, how does the life of that one person lived 2,000 years ago affect what is happening to me today? And how does my life affect what happened to him? It is an awareness that all of this was part of God's plan. And sin living in us still plagues. It tears us down. There is a need for someone bigger than us to fight. And that's why God has promised a champion. Paul will say, I'm pretty wretched. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And there comes Jesus. And in Psalm 22 he says, but I am a worm of a man. How did Jesus, the king, get to be so lowly that he calls himself a worm? Because he took our place. A lot of waiting, and this promise is to produce the victory that would be coming by the hero, a hero of a highest order. Jesus is, there's the Hebrew for like a man of war. The concept of a hero or a champion is of someone who goes into battle. And it's not with muscles and with might. It's not the ability to pull out weapons and blow somebody away. This is a battle of heart and soul of the whole person. And you have to say, who was it that would throw the enemy out of heaven? Who was the one who had to judge the original rebellion? It was Jesus. And when you would encounter him like Joshua did on the road, what would be your response? There is no doubt that we would be like Joshua, down on our knees, down on our face, And we would be understanding he is the high command, standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand was the majestic one. He's definitely not a wimp. He's a warrior of the kind that God has used once. The only son who would come into the world with a completely different pathway of war. You see, what happened is he's not just truly intimidating when you pull back the curtain and see him. It is that he has allowed he has the strength to allow people to beat him and tear him up. You remember that little glimpse in the garden recorded by John? That they come out with 200 soldiers, and where do the soldiers find themselves? Whoosh. Back. You have to almost smirk a little bit, don't you? Because who are they dealing with? And I'm sure there were episode after episode along the way. One wonders what the centurion saw through the pathway that at the cross he would come to his verdict. Who is this who allows himself to be scorned, abused? We esteemed him not. He became the lowliest. Only he could give up his life willingly. And only he did that when his last enemy was destroyed. Now, there's some famous warriors. We talk about in other generations and cultures, samurai. Jeremiah, I'm not going to get all these right. I know you could probably get, if we're going to get the history lesson, we'll wait till your episode, okay? Ninja, seals. Did you know there are sappers? There are warriors that fight for America. And we are very glad to have them. He doesn't need body armor. He doesn't need firepower. He doesn't need a weaponized virus. What he needs is the thing that he alone can carry, a pure, blameless life. This is the perfect child. The child that should never have been abused, but was. The child who became a man, who became our God-man warrior. We know that Jesus has fulfilled it completely. And not once in his entire lifetime on earth did he fail. And it's so evident. Whether he was about his father's business at age 12 or he would give his mother away to John on the cross, Jesus is set apart from all others. I hope you read the Gospels during Lent. At least one, if not all four, and compare. There are three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then there's the auxiliary, John. And I hope that you will hear this. Isaiah says, with a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. This is the warrior king that triumphs. The promised warrior who has come into a very unique battle. It is a shout that comes off of the cross, and we're going to work for it. There's going to be a cross here. And by Good Friday, we will be looking at the darkness that tries to absorb him and conquer him. And it is evil, not just lack of light. But in the words, it is accomplished, it is finished, it is paid for. You recognize the sound of triumph. There's the shout. There is the fulfillment of Isaiah 42. As he comes back from the grave, saying the very words that Isaiah would begin the second part, the New Testament part of his prophecy. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she will receive from the Lord double for all her sins. You see that the curtain is torn and we have access to God. Let there be no doubt today that the long-promised champion has accomplished it. Are you aware that at the end of Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? That it ends by saying he has done it, the same as the shout, it is finished. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Future generations, that's us, will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Your guilt has been taken away. You cannot linger in your sin. You must not, for he has already triumphed. Do you see how that has become the truth? The clouds of war were looming from the beginning. The promised champion was promised, and he came. And this warrior king has already triumphed. So let's start Lent with an intent to know the whole story well, to reobserve it, and not just let Pastor do the work, to read the text, which points us to our Savior, to grow in confidence called hope or faith, so that when our hour of battle comes, we will have the tools, and we will never doubt that he is by our side, and to go out with an invitation to heaven as we hold out the word of life. Then with David of old, we can say, in peace I lie down and sleep, for now I lay me down to sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen.